And by that time, the Jays will be back in town, right? Once we get into early April, like yeah. As long as they're playing. I mean, at this point, the lockout is a lock. It's going to happen. There's going to be a work stoppage. There's a battle going on between the owners and the players. All this money's being spent. It's crazy. Like, just crazy money being spent. All these long-term deals are getting locked in, and we don't even know if they're going to be playing baseball, what the new CBA is going to look like. Here is longtime MLB closer, one of our favorites. You can hear him on MLB Network Radio. Here is Brad Lidge. You're a lot more tapped in than we are, Brad. What's your read on this negotiation between the owners and the players and where it's going?
Well, you know, it's funny because I think you can interpret all these, you know, mega contracts and massive long-term deals in a couple ways. I mean, first of all, you know, the obvious on the surface, the players are, or at least were, nervous that they weren't going to get, you know, their typical free agent salaries and monies due to them in free agency. And so they looked to sign early. They talked to their agents and said, let's get stuff done before the likely work stoppage, you know, in December. And so a lot of them kind of, you know, let the teams know, hey, the agents were saying my player would be interested in signing early. And the teams, you would think, would then say, great, that's more leverage for us because, you know, if they're interested in signing early, then we can maybe give them something a little bit less and they'll do it. Ironically, we have not seen that whatsoever. It's like the teams have said, you know what, you know, after we saw the first couple of contracts pop, I mean, Justin Verlander getting a 2-year, $50 million deal at, you know, 38 years old coming off of Tommy John surgery. Once we started seeing some of those things, all of a sudden everyone just started, you know, jumping up in base pay and average annual revenue and, you know, length of term for contracts, which we've seen the Rangers just throwing them out there. 10-year contracts, you know, for Corey Seager, normally reserved for the Titans of the game. Not to say that Seager isn't a great player, but my point is that we're not seeing what you would expect, which is the ownership taking advantage of the players and giving them less. We're seeing, I think what we're seeing is that both the players and the owners recognize how good baseball is doing, recognize how much money they are making, you know, on both sides. And I think we're seeing that in these contracts, but we're also potentially seeing some confidence that if the players are doing this and the owners are willing to give them these contracts, then probably the owners feel like there won't be a work stoppage on the other side, you know, affecting spring training and actual ticket sales and stuff from games. So my guess is that this is probably overall a good sign. Yes, we're going to see a work stoppage, but man, I'll tell you, on our radio show, we keep having callers call in and say, you know, listen, I can't stand it. You know, everyone's doing so well. We see these contracts and they're stopping work. What's going on? But keep in mind, this isn't, you know, a strike. This isn't some kind of lockout. This is just, you know, there's a lot of important issues that need to be negotiated that have been put on the back burner, and now is the time for them to do that. So all this is, you know, both sides stepping back and saying, we've got to get a lot of these big issues tackled. This doesn't mean that it's going to impact when spring training starts. It doesn't mean it's going to impact when the season starts. It may, but it doesn't mean that right now, just if they're, you know, for a work stoppage right now.
Who do you expect to have a better career going forward, Robbie Ray or Kevin Gausman?
Well, that's a good question, because if the Blue Jays chose wrong on this one, it's going to come back to bite them.
Yeah.
I will say this. I think Robbie Ray kind of had a freakishly good season last year. I would be surprised if he's able to duplicate that, you know, in the coming years. It's not to say that he won't still be a great pitcher. It would just be a little bit surprising if he's able to repeat that kind of success. Now, that being said, I'm not sure Gausman can you know, duplicate what Robbie Ray did last year for Toronto. I think that fans probably should realize they're going to get a very high quality pitcher in Kevin Gausman, who's going to have a very solid season, but it's very unlikely he's going to be a top 7 or 8 Cy Young guy this coming season. He's going to be, you know, a top of the rotation guy, you know, and obviously when you've got Berríos there as well, you're feeling great about your 1-2 punch, but it is a little bit interesting for me, because I do think Robbie Ray's ceiling is definitely higher than Gausman's. But probably, in truth, the next couple seasons for both of them will be fairly equivalent, I would have to think. Again, Robbie Ray with maybe a little bit higher ceiling if everything does go right. But both of them, you know, front of the rotation guys. But I think, man, if I had to take one or the other right now, I'd probably lean toward the upside of Robbie Ray. But maybe the Jays internally saw something that they didn't think he'd be able to duplicate in 2022 and beyond.
I know there's big dollars at stake, Brad, but do you not find it somewhat surprising that Robbie Ray didn't stay in Toronto? He's a guy that's been up and down, and he found something that worked with Pete Walker in Toronto. And we're not talking about big dollars that were the difference between Seattle, Toronto. I don't know. I thought he would have stayed from what we saw in the last couple of days.
Yeah, I did too. And when you think about it, just being over $5 million, to me that doesn't make a ton of sense. I'm not exactly sure. Like I said, there must be something the Jays saw internally where they just felt like it would be very unlikely that he could repeat this last season going forward in the future. I don't necessarily know why that's the case. It looked like his stuff was just fantastic, and he finally was pounding the strike zone, which was just what was holding him back for so long in his career. He finally started attacking hitters and jumping ahead. He just had success in Toronto, so you know the ballpark's not going to affect him. I don't imagine the ballpark will affect Gausman, but you're coming from San Francisco, a pitcher's paradise, to I don't want to say a pitcher's nightmare, but a very tough place to pitch in Toronto. So there are some questions there as well for Gausman. But, I am a little bit surprised, I guess, is the bottom line. I would think over, $115 or $110 million, $5 million is nothing to laugh at. But when it comes down to it, that seems to be a very, very small detail for the Blue Jays to not have Robbie Ray back.
We're chatting with longtime MLB closer Brad Lidge. So Javi Baez signs a long-term deal in Detroit. Corey Seager signed a long-term deal in Texas. And the guy still standing there is Carlos Correa. Trevor Story still out there. But Correa is the guy who's more of a household name based on his history in Houston, his playoff success. I think he ends up in New York. I mean, the Yankees have been very quiet. The Sox have been quiet as well. But I don't know if they. I don't think they'd be in on the running for Correa. Does that make sense to you, Brad? Like, would you be surprised at all if Carlos Correa ends up with the Yankees?
Yeah, I think that's probably the most likely spot. I mean, obviously Detroit, was looking there, and they got their man in Javi Baez. I think the Yankees are definitely looking hard at Trevor Story as well. And I think, what's interesting with Trevor Story this last year with the Rockies, he did not have the type of season a lot of people were expecting. I think part of the problem is he just had nobody to hit around him in the lineup. And if you're pitching against the Rockies this past year, you're thinking, why am I going to pitch to that guy? Which makes him, kind of go up there and try and do too much. And I think that's what we saw last year. It definitely hurt his free agency sticker value. So he's going to have to deal with that a little bit. But surely the Yankees, who have been so quiet in all this, surely they're going to end up with Correa or Story, I think. They've got the ability to land either one. Correa, obviously, with the proven postseason resume. And I think if you're the Yankees, are you really looking for anything else? I mean, that's all you want is somebody you can count on in the postseason. That's what they need. So if I'm them, I'm certainly leaning towards Correa. I'm guessing they are. But Story is somebody that they have liked for a long time as well. So that wouldn't surprise me terribly, but Correa just obviously way more proven at this point than Trevor Story.
We were talking about Scherzer yesterday, and it was like he would be sitting at his kitchen table telling his wife that the Mets offered him 130, and she asked over 8 or 9 years, and he responded with, no, 3. It's just, you literally cannot say no to that. Wanted to go to the Mets or not, he just must have been like, okay, I'll go.
Yeah, right. I mean, a lot of people just assumed he would stay on the West Coast. But in truth, when a team's willing to flip that for you, right, I mean, are you going to be 45 when this is all over? No, it's just for the next 3 years. So you're right, that must have been an interesting discussion when he brought that back to his family to talk about. I can't imagine, how they came up with this number. People were talking about 3 years, 100. Then it was 3 years, 120. And I was like, $40 million? He was tired last year. He couldn't even pitch in the postseason. He got so tired at the end of the season. He's got tons of innings and tacks on that arm. Not to say he won't stay in great shape, but I thought 3 years, 120 was crazy. When I heard 3 years, 130, I just couldn't believe it. And I think, look, Steven Matz, decided he didn't want to go back to the Mets. I think Steven Cohen, the owner there, was a little bit chapped by that, and he probably pivoted pretty quickly to Max Scherzer and said, fine, let's go get Max Scherzer, boys. Whatever it's going to take, go give it to him. And I think that's what we saw. And I think, in some ways it has to remind people of Steinbrenner in those Yankee years where, he would just, if he got chapped by one guy, he would go to a different direction and give even more money to somebody else. Steven Cohen's going to be very, very fun to watch. If you're a Mets fan, think about it this way. You essentially have George Steinbrenner, a guy who is going to be in that clubhouse, who's going to be talking to the players, who's going to probably demand really, really high results now that he spent that much money, but he's willing to spend whatever it takes to win. You got to love it if you're a Mets fan.
Yeah, I mean, DeGrom and Scherzer, there's not going to be a better 1-2 punch. I mean, it's just not possible if they're both healthy. And the Mets are in a very good spot from that standpoint. I'm curious what's going to happen here with Clayton Kershaw as well. He needs a contract. I just assume he ends up back with the Dodgers. He feels like he's 43. He's actually 33. He's been around for so long. He's been such a prominent member of that staff. And there are other members of the staff that have blown past him in terms of expectation. He's a middle of the rotation, back into the rotation guy who probably isn't going to give you 33 starts a year anymore. But do you think it's a foregone conclusion he returns to the Dodgers, or do you think he might be intrigued by the idea of, you know, taking his talent somewhere else for the first time in his career?
Well, I think he's going to be intrigued by the idea. I think, you know, the Rangers certainly will make probably some kind of offer toward him. I'm not sure if that's the best move for the Rangers because, like you said, it's a little bit iffy if he's going to be able to get out there for, you know, even 25 starts a year at this point. It's funny. I mean, he could retire tomorrow, and he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but he is only 33 years old. And I think if you're Clayton Kershaw and you're looking at what's going on with Verlander and Scherzer and some of the, you know, amount of money these guys are getting pitching into their late 30s, you got to be thinking to yourself, man, I'm only 33. If I can just go out there and have a healthy year or two, I could potentially get another very large contract in my mid 30s. And so, you know, all the incentive in the world for him to go out there and prove he's healthy. And it makes me think he might only end up signing a 1 or 2 year deal because I think he probably wants to show people he's healthy. I still think if that's the case, yeah, I think the Dodgers are very much in play. And if he's able to play for that 1 or 2 year contract, you know, look, I mean, he has had a lot of injuries. It doesn't necessarily mean he's not going to be able to be an effective starter. I still think he's kind of a 3 or 4 starter. I agree with you on that, but I think there's going to be, you know, stretches of the season, a month or two, where he can pitch like a 1. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's still a decent amount of upside with Clayton Kershaw, especially if you can get him on a 1 or 2 year deal where maybe he wants to prove he's healthy and then go back in. Because if he does prove he's healthy and he is still effective, he could get a much larger contract in a year or two.
Well, exactly. I mean, last year he gave them 22 starts. He had a 3.55 ERA. Like the guy, it's not like he ballooned to like a, you know, a 5.50 ERA or something like that. Like he's still more than capable. He's not a guy that's ever thrown 98, 99 anyway. So, yeah, if he stays healthy and he's still got that curveball and the deception and it gives you some innings, he's still got a ton of value. And we'll see how it all plays out. It's always great catching up with you, Brad. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this, buddy.
All right, guys, keep paying attention to this exciting finish here before the work stoppage.
Yep, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun 24 hours. Thank you. There's Brad Lidge, longtime MLB closer, MLB Network radio host. Yeah, Clayton Kershaw, I'm looking at his numbers now. He's got a career 2.49 ERA, 2.49 ERA. Career. Like, this guy is just a machine, man. He had a run there, a 7-year run, starting in 2011. Won the Cy Young in 2011. Second in 2012, won it in 2013, won it in 2014, third in 15, fifth in 16, second in 17. Like, that's a 7-year run where he was top 5 Cy Young every year, and he won it 3 times.
Wow, like, legend.
Just unbelievable legend. Yeah. Number and retired, first ballot Hall of Famer.
If I was a guy in Major League Baseball, Hazy, I would not be shy. And some guys tried to do it. Jamie and myself, we sat out a whole year. And it just looking back, yeah, it doesn't make sense, man. If somebody can stand up and say, look, we have to make this work, figure out a way. There's a lot of money at stake, but we all have a great job here. We have a great livelihood. Let's figure out a way to just be playing baseball at spring training on time. Let that be our goal.